Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz is here with me. We are rolling through our position preview series. We have eight prior episodes already up on all of our podcast pages, looking at the offensive position groups, as well as defensive line, edge, and linebacker. This episode is going to look at cornerback, which you could argue might be outside, maybe offensive line, the most intriguing in fall camp, just in the sense of different players could be starting, different players could be stepping up, and there's a lot of upside, a lot of potential for this room. As we do with all of these position previews, we'll look at the strengths, the question marks, the position battles, X-factor players to watch. I'll give a stat to watch, and then we'll make bold predictions for the room. We have written previews, written stories covering everything at fall camp over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. So be sure to check that out. But looking at this cornerback room, in terms of the biggest strength, for me, I came away really, when I just like started to dive into the research, I guess, came away really impressed with the athleticism of this room. And that's, even though they had the fastest man at the combine last year in DJ Turner, and he's no longer on the team, you start looking at some of these testing times. Amarian Walker, everyone knows about his 6.1 second three cone drill. I believe he had a 4.3 and change 40 yard dash time this summer. Keyshawn Harris won three different state titles individually out of high school. Jade McBurrows won a state title in the 4x100 relay in Florida. Jair Hill ran a 10.8 100 meter dash. Mike Sainer still has a 40 inch vertical leap. He's won races as the team's fastest player as well. And then Will Johnson, I don't have testing numbers for him, but I mean, he was a top 20 recruit a year ago. And I think his athleticism shows up on the field. I guess where I'm going with this is I think there was a time where speed, athleticism was a question mark for Michigan's cornerback room year in, year out. I don't feel like that's the case anymore. I feel like whoever they put out there, they're not going to be slow-footed. They're not going to be, you know, a step behind. And it's something that doesn't necessarily show the first 2 months of the year, but it's the Penn States, the Ohio States. And then, you know, when they play a bowl team, it seems like sometimes that has shown up. I feel like this is a very athletic cornerback room, kind of top to bottom, thinking about two freshmen, Cameron Calhoun, DJ Waller. I don't feel like they're unathletic either. So I'm very intrigued by the upside of this room for a number of reasons. But I think when I think about what do a lot of these cornerbacks have in common, I do feel like this is, even with DJ Turner no longer being in the room, this is one of the faster, more athletic cornerback rooms that Michigan's had under Jim Harbaugh. Steve, what jumps out to you as the biggest strength? Obviously, there's some question marks about the back end of this room, but Will Johnson, Mike Sainer still is a very nice foundation to have at cornerback too.
I guess strength, I'm not sure if it's really a strength. It's sort of along the lines of what you said. I just like I think it's a very exciting cornerback room, and this will be a theme throughout this episode, but not in it, something that might not come to fruition immediately necessarily, but I think by October, November, I think there's a lot of possibilities for what Michigan may be able to throw out there at the cornerback position, right? You have a strong top two with Will Johnson, Mike Sainer still. Third corner is kind of has been the biggest offseason discussion. I feel like who's going to emerge there. Cannot stress enough. Not a question that's going to be answered when they take the field against East Carolina. I assume it's going to be an ongoing, this will be maybe more than any position battle will be ongoing throughout the season. And I don't think it's going to be particularly noteworthy who starts the season out there, just because, you know, there are a lot of other guys I think that could potentially emerge throughout the year. So I think it's an exciting room. Even the guys that, like, and this talk speaks to the athleticism angle that you were talking about, but yeah, like DJ Waller, who probably won't make an impact this year. Yeah, athleticism, not the problem there. Marion Walker, same deal. These are guys who are, the athleticism is the plus. It's the biggest reason Michigan recruited them. Now it's about teaching them the finer points of the position, which Steve Klinkscale has a long, long, long list of doing, probably with guys that weren't as good of athletes as these types of guys are. So, you know, Jair Hill, same deal. So it is probably the biggest question mark on the defensive side of the ball, but I still think it's a pretty exciting, I think there's a lot of possibilities with cornerback this year. And I think I think Michigan should be good enough everywhere else to sort of allow that room to develop a little bit, because yeah, you know, you talk about especially Walker, Hill. I think Walker and Hill, probably maybe even like a Miles Pollard, and maybe even a Cameron Calhoun, honestly, guys that really could be playing serious ball by the end of the year. So, and also you can't forget about Josh Wallace, who really gives them a nice, I thought that was quietly maybe the most important pickup they made in the portal. And it was the last one they made, just because he gives them, at the very least, I feel like he gives them solid, some experienced depth at the position, but I do think there's also some upside there still. So I just think it's kind of an exciting room. A lot of names, a lot of shuffling. I think it's going to happen. And definitely probably the position we'll all be keeping the closest eye on to begin the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and we can just jump right into that position battle discussion. And as you mentioned, it's not maybe like a traditional position battle where week one, that's the starter. Thanks for playing. It's going to continue throughout the season. And I felt like that was kind of obvious before, just because think about their non-conference schedule. Cornerback, it's not that hard to rotate guys in. So that's, you know, when Jim Harbaugh said that and branded it as the Michigan method, I was kind of like, I didn't expect it to be different. But yeah, that to me, that's the biggest question mark, right? Will Johnson, I'm predicting a very promising, stellar season for him. Mike Sainristil, still, I feel like the way he finished last year, similar to Will Johnson, I think has to be encouraging in a lot of ways. It's all about that number three spot. And maybe they move Sainristil still to true corner, and then they move someone in at nickel, right? I know Jaden McBurrows and Zeke Berry, two guys who can take reps at nickel in Michigan, would be pretty comfortable with them there. But I feel like they prefer Sainristil still to be at nickel. I think Jim Harbaugh even said as much. So it's all about that number three. I think Josh Wallace has to be considered the leader in the clubhouse right now. I mean, he's played 2,200 defensive snaps in his career. The other candidates for that number three spot played a combined 150 last year. So I think he has to be the favorite to start the season. But this is going to be a battle that goes on all season. I know Amarian Walker has gotten a lot of talk, a lot of publicity from Jim Harbaugh, from fans. You know, his testing times have everyone really intrigued about what he can do. I know he was banged up a little bit in fall camp. I know his spring game was a little up and down, but I think that high ceiling remains there. I think McBurrows, after the spring game, started to get some of the attention that he deserves. And he didn't play at all last season due to injuries, but started to make an impression as a true freshman, and, you know, started to garner some DJ Turner type comparisons. And DJ Turner was someone year three. That was when he started to actually make a difference or make a meaningful impact in games too. But, you know, one wild card that whose name just keeps popping up when players are asked. So that tells me that he's someone that really stands out to his teammates, is Keyshawn Harris, former walk-on, as I mentioned a moment ago, three-time state champion in hurdles, elite speed. I don't know a ton about his high school football background, but I don't think that he was necessarily a football first guy coming out of high school, but ended up walking on to Michigan. He's now a grad student. When I hear grad student, former walk-on who's now a grad student, that tells me that you have made an impression on your coaches. You have made an impression on your teammates, that they're keeping you around. They want you around, and you're still contending for a starting and or key rotation role. So those are kind of the, and Miles Pollard, I would throw in there as well. Those are kind of the main candidates in this position battle. In my mind, feel like Wallace almost has to get the nod to start the season. But I do think Michigan is open eyes and open ears if any of these, as we mentioned, highly athletic cornerbacks with upside, whether they're inexperienced or are extremely experienced even, I think they're very open-minded to someone else emerging, because you're probably going to need more than three to make it through this season, right? Injuries happen, games are long, players need to rotate in. And some of the teams on later in the schedule, thinking about Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State, they're going to throw the ball a ton. I mean, really, you could probably, maybe Purdue could be added to that mix. Just that November block of games, feel like they're going to be tested a lot as a secondary in that month. I think September, October, you know, there's more balanced offenses, but it feels like November, if the on paper trend is to be believed on the field, it feels like November is going to be a lot of top tier passing attacks. So it almost feels like they've got like 6-7 weeks to figure this out, but they do want to go into those November matchups knowing exactly what they have at corner. Steve, of those candidates, I mean, who jumps out to you as someone that could be a surprise or could really push Josh Wallace for that role? Because Josh Wallace is the only one who's been made available to the media, right? Availability theory. He's also the most experienced. And, you know, when you talk to Mike Sainristil still, it really sounds like Josh Wallace will be the starter to start the year. But among the rest of the group, because it's a pretty vast group of players, who intrigues you as a candidate to win the job in the second half of the season?
I'm still going to go with Amarion Walker. Basically the best way I can put it is I was told, I mean, I guess it's a two-sided coin. He still has a ways to go, but I was also to not read too much into, cause he definitely struggled in the spring game. Right. I mean, it was pretty, I think even a layman watching the game could tell that he was not, what did Harbaugh say? He was the number one, or was approaching number one cornerback level or something very early in the spring. I think he made some kind of comment.
I think he did it before spring practices had started.
Right.
It was really early.
That's
uncharacteristically early for Harbaugh to pump a guy up.
You know, I think, of course, a guy of his athletic ability, there's going to be flashes, and I think they probably, it's hard not to get excited about his potential there. But I just, again, basically was told, that's when we're talking about second half of the year, right? Is like, and I think he's a guy that they're hoping will emerge. I think Jair Hill's is the other one though, as a true freshman that could possibly jump in there also. Another elite athlete. Difference with him is he was very highly recruited though too. A lot of times the elite athletes are sort of the sleeper picks. More like Walker was a three-star. Granted, he was committed to Notre Dame, but three-star that didn't get a lot of love from LSU. You know, and then I already mentioned DJ Waller as a guy that fits that mold as sort of an elite athlete. I mean, you're talking, he's 6'3", 205 already. I mean, that's, they probably want to keep him at that weight, you know, to play cornerback at. So, but I'm going to go with Walker for now. It may be a little bit of a bumpy ride, it sounds like, but no doubt Michigan is looking to see this through. And I guess the other thing I would say about Walker specifically that people need to maybe keep in mind or think about a little bit is think about, you know, we've talked about Michigan maybe needing a little bit more depth at the receiver position. I think the fact that Michigan is keeping Walker on the defensive side, I mean, they moved him over there in the first place, but that they're keeping him there, I think really speaks a lot to where they feel like, you know, what his potential is on that side of the football. Because
yeah,
size, speed, athleticism is something that translates probably a little more quickly at receiver in terms of like just a raw athlete. But the fact that they're keeping him on the defensive side of the ball, I think means that they really believe that they have something with him. So you know, again, maybe tone back a bit from what Harbaugh said in the spring, but I still believe they think he can be an asset for them down the stretch. So I'm going to go with him, and then I'd say Jair Hill probably second.
Okay. This is one of the more declarative or authoritative position switches I remember. You know, Jim Harbaugh will always throw his opinion or suggestion to players, but I think, you know, when Mike Sainer still switched, it was kind of like, hey, Mike, you might want to try defense. Like, it might be valuable. It might help with your playing time. You might have a longer term future. It sounds like with Amarian Walker, they saw his three cone drill and were like, go to corner. You're a cornerback now. You know, and they pulled out the Tariq Woolen comparison. I think he was UTSA receiver, switched to corner, suddenly was extremely good. I can't remember where he was drafted, but rookie year, he's a Pro Bowler. So I think that's the comparison that they're thinking of. I think they feel like, because yeah, Michigan's wide receiver room, if they had a 6'3", you know, former top, whatever, three-star recruit, but obviously a former Notre Dame wide receiver commit, you know, guy with a lot of really high profile offers, 6'3", 6.1 second, three cone drill. You know, I feel like people would be really excited about that wide receiver. Instead, Michigan, as you mentioned, they're keeping him at cornerback. They're not flinching. They're not going, at least that we've heard, you know, experimenting back and forth with him. They're giving him a chance to really go all in on defensive back. And early in his career, too. I mean, I don't even know if he had recorded a catch before we saw him play a couple snaps at corner last fall. And last fall, he was kind of doing both. But yeah, it does seem like they've made that switch in full. And when it's that authoritative or that certain, you know, that tells me that Michigan really thinks that he has a lot of potential at the position. We're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll talk about stats to watch, X Factor player to watch, make our bold predictions for this cornerback room. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
And we're back. Thanks for waiting. So, Steve, X Factor, I mean, it's hard not to say Amarian Walker, right? Just because we don't know what the role is going to be for him, but Michigan really believes he can be a star cornerback sometime soon. You know, if it's not this season, next season, but it might be a few weeks into this season as well. But anyone we haven't talked about it in a ton of detail yet that jumps out to you as a potential X factor for the room this season?
Probably Jaden McBurrows, right? Experienced. Coming up, still sort of coming off, and not coming directly off an injury, but a guy who's been sort of banged up throughout his career. I think this is a big year for him. I know Michigan loves the way he plays as far as his physicality, which, yeah, 5'11", 200, you're more apt to being able to play physical ball on the outside. So he's probably the one mix of, like, just a guy who's been in the program for a few years who also has the opportunity, right? And so he'll be one to watch for sure. Maybe one to watch earlier. So like we talk about guys in the second half of the season, you know, maybe a guy like McBurrows emerges faster, almost like a horse race a little bit here. You know, maybe McBurrows sets the pace early, you know, and then at that point, if you're in his position, you try to take that opportunity and run with it and hold off some of these younger guys. So he'd be the name I would probably look out for. The other guy, I mean, again, probably more of a second half type deal just because he's a first year guy, but I know we've heard some good things about Cameron Calhoun too. Enrolled early, along with Hill. Ball skills are top notch. Again, this is a guy Michigan zeroed in on and pursued very heavily once they made the offer. I think he was a little bit of a later offer, but another guy, again, we'll see if he's still, 173, you know, I think he's a guy they're going to want to keep building on in the weight room in a little bit, whatever. But as far as his ball skills go and just his cover ability, I think Michigan likes what they have with him. So he'd kind of be the other one, but I think McBurrows has to be at the top.
Yeah. I want to read this quote from Rod Moore this spring. I think it was a conversation with Sam Webb in the Behind the Uniform series. He said, you know, Rod was asked, who's going to step up at corner? Who do you like in that corner room? And he went straight to McBurrows. He said, McBurrows, he finally got his chance. I tell you, McBurrows is a real football player, athlete. He's going to make plays. He's going to be the guy that steps up this year. So we can talk about testing times or recruiting ratings, all that. But if, you know, Rod Moore is saying it's this guy, you know, you got to think he's going to at least have a very strong chance to be that guy that steps up. And I know, I believe he was classmates with Rod Moore, and they were kind of the ones in fall camp as true freshmen who were raising eyebrows, because I don't think either were super highly rated as recruits. And I think that defensive back class was fairly small, but they came in and immediately started making plays. So I think he's a good choice for X Factor. Haven't heard a ton about him in fall camp. And I know him and Amarian Walker, but if you read into this theory, him and Amarian Walker both wear number one, or are listed on the roster as wearing number one, but only one player on defense can play if they're sharing a jersey number. And sounds like McBurrows may have switched to number six. So is that competition ongoing, or did he just switch anyways? Up to you to decide as listeners. But at the same time, I think he's always listed in that mix. You know, I think he's someone that probably in an optimal situation plays a little bit of that nickel role, because as you mentioned, he's just a little bigger. He's almost safety sized in a way. But at the same time, I think they do like his instincts. I think they like the intensity that he plays with. So I think he's very much in that running. All right, real quick, I'm going to do my stat to watch. And we've been talking a lot about that number three corner spot. I do think Will Johnson and Mike Sainer still also have room to improve. I think the stat that I'm keeping an eye on to see what this room is made of is yards per completion allowed. Because I think Will Johnson, Mike Sainer still were very good last year at low completion percentage allowed. DJ Turner and Jamon Green were also in that mix. But quietly against some of the better offenses in the country, or better passing offenses that they faced last year, they faced five top 50 passing offenses, which is also not that many. Michigan allowed 7.3 yards per attempt against Ohio State, 7.8 yards per attempt against Purdue, 7.8 against TCU, 6.9 against Maryland, and Penn State was maybe the one prolific passing offense they had a lot of success against, 5.4 yards per attempt. Collectively, those five offenses averaged 273.6 yards per game passing against the Wolverines. In terms of Sainer, Russell, and Johnson, they only allowed 71 completions last fall in 14 games. I think that's pretty good, actually, but they averaged more than 10 yards per completion on those 71 completions. They allowed 800 passing yards, 799. And in the final three games of the year, they allowed 335 passing yards on 26 completions. So I think the next step for the room altogether, the completion percentage has been fairly low. That's great. I think the next step for Will Johnson, Mike Sainer, still both, when I look at their coverage stats, is when they do allow a completion, just keeping it minimal, right? Don't allow the 8-yard completion to become a 16-yard completion. Don't allow, if they're going for a 22-yard shot, you know, don't allow it. So I think that's the next step for this cornerback room, especially. I think some of those prolific passing offenses, I mean, obviously they're going to get stats, right? Like, it'd be weird and surprising if Ohio State didn't throw for at least 250 yards against Michigan, maybe even 300. But I think the TCU game the Purdue game, the Ohio State game, and then the Maryland game were all examples of good passing offenses were able to get some of those big chunk plays. And some of them were in the slot or to a tight end, but it did feel like that's the next step for Will Johnson, Mike Sainer still. All right, Steve, final question for this episode. Bold prediction for the season. What do you got for this cornerback room?
I don't have an exact – I just think we're going to see a lot of guys play. We talk about receiver where Michigan will want some young guys. I think they're going to want to get their young guys some experience this year. A name we haven't mentioned yet, by the way, we talk about nickel, is Cody Jones. Another, I would say, elite athlete. Yep. And a guy who is definitely pegged there. You know, we know Zeke Berry, Keon Sabb, both playing safety explicitly. I think that leaves Cody Jones as the future guy at nickel. And and another, like I said, another guy very high on. I think we'll probably see him on the field this year as well. But I think we may see basically almost every name that we've mentioned so far on the field at some point this year. And maybe see, I don't know if all three freshmen will burn their red shirts, but you know, I think I wouldn't totally write it off, let's say, just because, like I think I posted last week, asked about the freshman corners. The first response I got was, don't forget about DJ Waller. It was like, okay, all right, I won't. So yeah, I think we're just going to see a ton of rotation there, maybe even early in the year, just to get a feel, you know? So I think we're going to, I guess maybe it's not that bold, but I'll just be bold. I'll say all three freshmen burn their red shirts. And I think we just see a ton of rotation early on to try to round out not just that third spot. The third spot's the one that keeps getting all the discussion, but even your fourth and fifth spots, right? Those are as important when you get into November and December. So, yeah, that's where I'm going.
Okay. There you go. I tend to agree. I mean, when I do my depth charts, I often do like an in the mix, and I try to limit it. I don't like listing every guy on scholarship because I'll always get, oh, what about this guy? It's like, well, whatever. He's not such and such is not competing for a two deep role this season until something changes. But for the cornerback room, I always laugh because I do have to list like 8-9 guys because there really are that many different players that Michigan is open to playing, you know, and giving that opportunity to. My bold prediction, maybe it's not that bold because he was a freshman All-American last year, but I'm predicting Will Johnson to be an All-American this year. And I remember when I was kind of researching the cornerback room, I was just kind of laughing because so many of Michigan's All-Americans or developmental success stories are like, they found this guy, they were the first team to offer him. He was a three-star guy, but he had like this crazy, you know, athleticism, and he emerged. You know, I think about like a Zach Zinter or a Chris Jenkins, you know, guys that they really are great, like recruiting and developmental success stories. You know, you could probably go through the years, and I feel like Will Johnson is interesting because it was an easier path. He was from the state of Michigan. His dad played for Michigan. He was a five-star pretty much throughout the entire recruiting process for him. He comes to Michigan. He doesn't win the starting job right away, but he clearly looks ready to play at the college level right away. And once he does win the starting job, he just keeps getting better and better. And next thing you know, he has two interceptions in the Big Ten championship game. It's like, sometimes it is easier. Not that he didn't do the same work that the other All-Americans did, but it feels like Michigan to get a first round caliber player, it seems like they either need to, you know, find some amazing recruiting win on the trail or under recruited player or develop them like crazy. And it's like, Will Johnson just kind of came in looking like a future All-American. He's really looked like a future All-American for a few years. And he's a freshman All-American last year. And I think he makes that step this year. I think the way he finished the season, you know, I know I mentioned the yards per completion, but the yards per attempt was lower because he was forcing so many incompletions. You know, he's got that combination of the athleticism that he's sticking with wide receivers, but he also has the size and he also has the demeanor and the intensity. I love that Ohio State game. Wasn't it like the first series? He's got the stick on Marvin Harrison Jr. in Columbus, you know, his first time playing the Buckeyes, and just, he's already ready to go. You know, he didn't need to kind of calm the nerves or get his feet wet in that in that series. You know, he was ready to rock. Doesn't care who's across the line of scrimmage from him. Doesn't care who he's lined up against. Really just feel like he's someone that checks every box for Michigan. And I think he's going to be an All-American this year. I think maybe that's not that bold, but I do think a rising sophomore, maybe I would argue that's bold-ish. I do wonder, though, if teams try to avoid throwing to him enough that maybe, because all those All-American lists, a lot of them are like stat-based and you need the interceptions, you need the pass breakups. But at the same time, I think Will Johnson is just that good. I think he's one of the top five cornerbacks in the country right now. And I think by the end of the season, he'll be viewed as the top two or three. And then I think, you know, next summer, you're going to see him on a lot of mock drafts, top 10 for the 2025 draft, because I think he just checks every box: size, athleticism, demeanor, I think consistency. And so, yeah, I think the ceiling's really high. And for a room that does have some question marks, you know, I did my position group power rankings. I really couldn't rank the cornerback room that low, even if we don't know exactly what's going to happen across from Will Johnson. But having Will Johnson, having Mike Sainer still, I think does elevate this room. And as you kind of mentioned, I think Michigan's defense will be good enough where it doesn't matter a ton who's at that third cornerback spot in September and October. I mean, certainly you need to play your best players, but I think there'll be some flexibility. There'll be some opportunity for different guys to try and for Michigan to try different guys and see who works, see who shines in a game setting. And I think a big part of that flexibility will be Will Johnson playing at an All-American level. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to stay tuned next time for the safety episode, as well as the special teams episode. Go listen to the past ones if you haven't already. And be sure to read all of our coverage, whether it's insider coverage, press conference coverage, or analytical coverage from fall camp over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan@247sports.com. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.